Hello, and thank you for joining us today for Financially Fit, where you will learn how to build your money muscles by making small changes to get you in better financial shape. I'm Dina Isola, joined by my husband, business partner, and certified financial planner, Tony Isola. And we're looking forward to sharing insights from our fee-only fiduciary registered investment advisor firm, ATI Investment Consulting in Stony Brook. Our mission is to educate and empower you so that you get stronger financially, make better decisions, and never be taken advantage of again. This show is truly for you. We really want to hear from you and hear your concerns and your questions. Feel free to call us 631-675-1420 or email us Dina, D-I-N-A, at atiinvestment.com. Remember, visit our website, atiinvestment.com. There are lots of resources there, articles, and the radio blog tab has replays of our show. So be sure to check that out. The last few weeks, we've been discussing the importance of building a financial plan, and we've been also addressing the recent market volatility that has been shaking people up. And this truly underscores the value of having a plan, because if you don't have a plan, in times like these, you start blowing in the breeze, you swing with the markets, you do all kinds of stupid stuff, and that is no strategy at all. So this week, we want to cover why emotions can get the best of investors and how it can really foil the best laid plans. We hope with some education and perspective, you'll find it easier to ride out this market volatility and stick to your plan. So last week, we covered historical numbers, that these corrections are normal.
Yes.
Reverting back to the mean, as you would say.
Yes, completely normal. You know, again, since 1928, stocks have increased over 2,000%, right? But during that time period, 20 times, they also lost 20%. So I understand how people can be scared, and I understand that this can be unsettling, but markets going down is normal. It's completely normal for investors. That's the price you have to pay. So I think the big question is, since it is logical, if you can give people the statistics, why do they continue to display unbelievably poor behavior when the market goes down?
Well, for starters, if you don't have a plan, there's no roadmap. So it becomes that much easier to distract an investor from their goals if stuff is going on around them that they, A, can't control, B, they keep hearing about it and they're getting, right, you know, worked up into a frenzy, and they have no path that they know where to be on because they weren't really on a path. They were treating the market like a roulette wheel or a crapshoot, which is not at all what good investing is. Good investing is very strategic. There's nothing, you know, willy-nilly about this. It's a plan.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of, you know, distractions out there.
Of course.
You know, now you don't have a plan, so that's bad enough. Because we mentioned, you know, having any type of plan is better than having no plan. But most people have no plan. Now, on top of it, they'll put on the TV, and the media many times will blow stories completely out of proportion. You know, again, there's an old saying, if it bleeds, it leads. That's why the bad news is always at the forefront, right? The murders, the suicides, the terrible events that go in the world. Because media understands that people tend to listen to bad news almost three times as much more than they would to good news. So it's the same thing with the market. So now you have the media trumpets blaring, you know, market disaster, stock market crash, updates every 30 seconds. That's going to fray on your nerves and sometimes cause you to make decisions based on emotion, which is never a good idea.
Don't underestimate the power of the mind, you know, and you really need to get it on your side, because volatility can try most people. And if you're not aware that your emotions are leading you to destructive behavior, you'll repeat the pattern over and over again.
Yeah. And again, people they want to hear a story. They're uncomfortable with uncertainty. It's just human nature. So people will come on, forecasters predicting, you know, market levels 3 months from now, 6 months from now, 9 months from now, whatever it is. These people are completely unaccountable because they're usually not managing money. And quite frankly, they're on TV because of their dramatic forecast, because they'll get some attention. And no one really holds them accountable for what they said, you know, maybe in 2008, when these same people were telling you to sell their sell your stocks and buy gold and do all these things during the generational market low. And many times these people have their own agendas, and they know nothing about you or your personal situation. So why in the world would you listen to advice from someone who, if they are qualified to do anything, they would need to know an immense amount of personal details about your finance, and they don't even know who you are, and you're going to listen to their advice?
In case you're just joining us, you're listening to Financially Fit, and Tony and I are discussing market volatility and how it wreaks havoc on your investment psyche and how it could lead you to do silly things and how there's so many distractions out there derailing
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Listening to neighbors and friends, honestly, that's a very dangerous path as well. And here's why. A lot of times misery loves company. And if I'm panicking, I feel better if the person next to me is panicking alongside with me. So it's easy to get swept up in someone else's emotion, even if your plan is good and you have everything locked up.
Absolutely. And people, again, they have the recency effect. Everything goes back to, 2008, it's going to be a replay of that. You know, not every time the market goes down means it's going to be in 2008 again. 2011, the market went down 19%. You know, no one even remembers that. You know, the problem is you feel a loss much more than you feel a gain. It's right. Like in sports. If, you know, think of Red Sox fans or Jet fans or Knicks fans, you know, their memories are seared with very disappointing, tragic losses, but they don't remember the wins. So it's kind of like that in investing. Your kind of survival instinct takes over and your emotions take over and you end up making bad decisions because of your DNA, quite frankly, and the help of outside forces like media and friends or family who also are in the same boat as you. So I guess the question is then, you know, what to do? What do you do during these times? What would be some smart strategies?
Well, for starters, you should turn off the television set.
Absolutely.
Stop listening to CNBC. That's
absolutely
way too distracting.
Right. And if you want to be involved in finances during this time, you know, read a book by Warren Buffett or something like that, which would put things in better perspective. You know,
well, part of our ongoing homework assignment for all of you is to make sure that you're reading a financial article a day. So choose your source carefully is all I can say there, because again, if it's going to whip you into a frenzy, that's not helpful either.
Right.
We have tons of great articles on ATIinvestment.com, so be sure to go check out that resources tab.
Absolutely. And my blog, maliceforall.com, has a lot of stuff just on this topic. So if you went through it, you would see some things that I think could be helpful. Another bad thing to do is to keep checking your portfolio. You know, that is just an enormous waste of time. And just as an example, even though last Monday, you know, you had a 1,000-point drop at one point in the markets, by Friday, the markets had recovered and were actually up 1% on the week. So if you were in a coma, you know, from Sunday, I guess, to Thursday and woke up Friday morning and then Friday afternoon checked your stock portfolio, you would have said, wow, this was a great week and the stock market went up 1%, right? It went up 1% every week. You make 52% over the time frame. So my point being, you know, I really don't think you need to check your portfolio more than once a year. And then it kind of smooths out all of these different bumps and all that wasted emotion that you would have following, you know, a minute by minute broadcast of a typical market correction.
Ignorance can sometimes truly be bliss.
Yes.
And know yourself. I mean, if you cannot stop yourself from getting emotional and doing impulsive things, you need to find someone that you can work with that can help you stay the course. Again, everything gets back to that plan. If you think of the plan as your foundation that needs to be built well and built strong, and you've got to do that at the get-go. If that's not done properly, everything's going to cave in on itself.
Right, and a good plan is created with these things in mind. Good plans are created with bear markets in mind. They don't say, okay, we're just going to make a plan up and assume stocks will never go down. So if you have a good plan, you're halfway there, because your expectations are these things are going to happen, and this is most likely what's going to happen to my portfolio, and it won't be the end of the world.
If you need us to review your plan, feel free to call us 631-675-1420. Email us Dina, at ATIinvestment.com. And don't forget to check ATIinvestment.com, the blogs and radio tab, for our blogs and replays of this Financially Fit. When we come back, we'll discuss some more of these items. Maybe get a pistol on your little finger. Hello and welcome back. You're listening to Financially Fit. I'm Dina Isola, joined by my husband and business partner and certified financial planner, Tony Isola. We're discussing how you can now make your psyche kind of work for you instead of against you, because the recent market volatility has really left people very unnerved and really in a position where it's too easy for them to do something stupid. So we're going to encourage you this segment of the show to change the way that you're looking at things. The brain is a really powerful tool. It's a computer. If you ask it a question, it's going to give you an answer. So be very, very careful what kinds of questions you're asking your brain. For example, if you say, why should I be afraid? Your brain's going to give you answers to that question and scare the bejeebers out of you, which is not helpful. So if you look at it as, hey, if I ask my brain, how can I look at this experience in a different way? How can I make this volatility work for me? Where is the opportunity? Guess what? Your brain's going to start to look at different ways, and you will have a different experience because of that.
Yeah, it's what your focus is on, what your attention is on. And that's a problem today, because people can't pay attention to anything because they're on their phones and they're on the computer and they're doing this and they're multitasking, and they end up, you know, doing a lot of things but doing nothing very well. And that's a big problem with investing. And, you know, if you're whatever you focus on, that's where your energy is going to go. So if you focus on the negativity of the market declining, all of your energy is going to go into negative emotions, which will most likely cause you to take actions that in the end will hurt your long-term plan.
I think it was Tony Robbins who once said this in a book of his, that he was learning how to race car drive. And I thought this was such a great analogy. And the guy who was teaching him how to drive said, whatever you do, only look to where you want to go. So if you start to lose control of the vehicle, do not look at the wall. Because if you look at the wall, that's where you're going to go. You are going to most definitely crash the car. So I always thought of that's a very interesting thing. Think of where you want to go.
That's right.
Because if you keep fixating on where you're afraid you're going to go, you're going to end up there.
Right. And again, you know, most of the time your fears are unfounded. If you have a good advisor and you have, you know, a diversified portfolio of low-cost index funds, those index funds aren't going to zero. And if they do go to zero, the least of your problems is going to be, you know, your retirement account, because it's going to be the apocalypse and the end of the world. So anyway, the things you can focus on now is, what are opportunities out there? Stocks are cheaper. Right? The markets are cheaper than they were a few months ago. And what options are there now what actions could I take today that actually might benefit my future rather than hurt it? And one of the things I think you could look at is, right now you could probably buy the S&P 500, the index, and it yields over 2%, which is basically the same yield, interest rate, that a 10-year bond, government bond pays. And historically, when that happens, stocks tend to be looked at as being more affordable, as a better time to buy them. In other words, if you can buy a stock and get a 2%, even though that doesn't sound like a lot, that's all you're getting from the bond anyway. But the difference is with the bond, you're also not going to get price appreciation and an increased dividend like you would with a stock. So one of the opportunities out there is to kind of look at maybe your allocation of stock and bond right now. And if you have too much bond, you might want to look maybe to shift some of it into the stocks, because basically you're getting that same rate of interest that you would on that bond portfolio. If obviously, you know, I'm not going to tell you what to do because I certainly don't know your personal situation, but there are some positive things out there today that maybe weren't available a few months ago.
In case you're joining us, you're listening to Financially Fit, and we're discussing different ways that you can seize the opportunity from this market volatility.
Yeah. And another big thing out there is the past few years, even though our stock market has done very well, the foreign markets have not. And you have to understand, only 5% of the population of the world, right, 7 billion, 8 billion people live in the United States of America. So 95% of the population lives outside of our borders. So if you have a good, balanced, globally diversified portfolio, you should have a sizable chunk of your money in stocks and bonds in foreign countries. Now, the good news about this is the stock markets have greatly underperformed in the international markets the past few years and now have gotten even cheaper. There are stocks selling in the emerging markets of the world, countries like Brazil and China and Russia and places like that, where they are selling at levels of 2008 or 2009. That's the valuations, which are very cheap. And I'm certainly not going out telling you to go out and buy all kinds of stocks in all these foreign countries. But now would be a time, if you look at your portfolio and you have no international exposure, there would be a lot worse things you could do right now than to think about adding some needed international exposure for the long term at prices that are very depressed. And that's what I would call an opportunity. And I feel that behavior is much more productive, you know, than watching CNBC and checking in every time the market goes down 10 points and then, you know, listening to people screaming and yelling how the end is near.
Now would be a good time to meet with your financial professional. If this has really rattled your cage, you need to ask yourself why. Is your plan the right size? Is it fitting you? Is it fitting your needs? Did you really look at your goals and make sure that your time frame and all these things are working together? Because if they're not, you need to adjust that too.
Right. And these things should, to be quite honest, you know, a good advisor should prepare you ahead of time. It's like a plane. You don't check the safety equipment as the plane is crashing into the ocean or something. You do the safety check while the plane is on the ground and not even flying yet. And it's the same thing. You can make projections. Well, how would you feel? Here's the market. And if it went down 20 or 40 or 50% or whatever it is, and here's how much money you would lose temporarily, by the way, because you don't lose anything unless you sell. But let's, you know, your paper losses could be substantial. Is that something you can handle? That should be decided ahead of time, not in the midst of a market plunge when you would obviously say, I can't take any of this. But if things are well thought out ahead of time and you're properly prepared when that day does come, you might not be very happy, but you certainly wouldn't look to panic and sell all of your stocks because the expectations have been explained to you and the possibilities and the probabilities have been put on the table.
At our first meeting with new investors coming into our office, it's the first thing that we do. We make them take a little quiz. It's a very quick quiz. In fact, it's on our website, right on the actual homepage. It says, what's your risk number? If you click on that box, you can answer a few short questions, and it will give you a risk number. And there are many people who come into us that have a portfolio. Tony will plug in the portfolio, get the actual risk number of their existing portfolio with their other financial professional, and then they'll take this test. And many times there's a huge disparity on what they think they can tolerate versus what they actually can tolerate.
Right. And that's why we then create a custom portfolio for your risk tolerance. So let's say your risk number was a 40. I'll put together a portfolio for you, which wouldn't be as aggressive as a market portfolio, but it would work for you and it would keep you on track. And the reason why you were probably panicking in the first place is because, you know, you had a portfolio that maybe had a risk tolerance of 80 and you're a 40. So basically that doubled the risk that you could handle. So again, before we even, you know, implement the plan and make the transactions to put the portfolio in place, we make sure that the client is comfortable with the risk being taken within the portfolio. And if someone's not doing that with you, it might be time for you to ask that question, why not?
On that webpage that I told you are ATIinvestment.com, right on that homepage, there are two invaluable buttons. That one is what's your risk number, which we were just discussing. And then there's another one, what's your plan? And if you click on that, it will give you the starts of being able to customize a plan. And there's different goals covered, such as budgeting, college, retirement, savings. And it'll certainly give you a really good framework to see whether or not you've actually addressed these questions. Just by looking at these, you know, these worksheets, you'll know whether or not your current plan incorporates some of these concerns.
Yeah. And that's really the bottom line. If your expectations are correct and people have properly prepared you and explained that these things can happen, I think, though your reaction, you might not be happy, like I've stated in the past, you won't do something stupid and completely change a plan, a long-term plan, based on a short-term event.
Thanks for joining us today. Be sure and check out the What's New tab on ATIinvestment.com. Tony's been cited on a number of interesting websites, Yahoo Finance, NASDAQ.com, the Christian Science Monitor, Money Magazine. Be sure and check that out. Tune in to us next week for Financially Fit. Be sure and call us 631-675-1420 if you have any questions for our show.